Isaiah 52, and it's page 740. Awake, awake, Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Rise up. Sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion, now a captive. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. At first my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately Assyria has oppressed them. And now what do I have here, declares the Lord? For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord.
Good afternoon. I'm Andrew, for those of you that don't know me. Hi. Thank you, Becky, for the reading. Excuse me if you hear any wheezing. I've had a bad chest, so just ignore that and focus on God. Amen. So as we're looking in Isaiah, throughout this book of Isaiah, we've seen that the people of Israel, God's people, they've turned away from him. They're doing their own thing. They're kind of like, we'll focus on ourselves. Through this, they've managed to get themselves oppressed and brought into slavery. And the first half of Isaiah, God is just calling to his people. He's calling them back to him. He's saying, repent, just come back to me. I'm still here. Just come back to me. And the second half, and as we see in this chapter as well, God speaks to them about his redemption, how he's coming to save them. He's coming to bring them out of this oppression, out of this slavery that they've managed to get themselves into. And as we look at the first three verses, we can see God's call to them. You know, awake, awake, Zion, clothe yourself with strength, put on your garments of splendor, and so on and so on. But you know, they were living in this life of slavery, so they had this slavery mentality. Even down to the clothes they wore, they were living a slave lifestyle. But as God's coming to set them free, he's calling them to prepare themselves for this, to prepare themselves to walk into their freedom. Because if they're to accept that freedom, they can't live the same kind of lifestyle as a slave. Because, you know, the slave will have their chains on, they'll have their rags on, and you can clearly see that they're a slave. But verse 2. you can clearly see that God's saying, free yourself from the chains on your neck. And if you're supposed to walk in freedom, it's very hard to walk in freedom when you're chained, when you're tied down to something, because you're clearly not free. But God is calling them into their freedom and to walk out into that. And it's just like when we come into a relationship with God as well. You know, we've been walking a life chained by sin. We've been a slave to sin. But when we come into Christ, we receive freedom. And God is able to break those chains. John 8, verse 36. Jesus clearly says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So there's no doubt there that, you know, if you come into Christ, you receive freedom. But it's the same here. We can't then have that same lifestyle. I was like, oh, Christ said I'm free. but I'm going to stay over here with my chains and live this life because this is how I am now. Christ says, you're free. You don't have to hold on to these things. You don't have to remain in those chains. You can actually walk into the freedom that he's called you into. So a few weeks ago, Beth and I, we watched some movies, The Princess Diaries, if any of you know that. It's a great film. Great two films, despite what John says. And the plot of this story, mainly the first one you see, ordinary schoolgirl called Mia, very ordinary, maybe a bit below ordinary. She's, you know, she's not, you know, the most popular person. She's just, you know, a bit of an outsider. Like, people like to pick on her because, you know, she's different. But then throughout this story, she finds out and realizes that she's actually a princess. She's not a nobody. It's all really nice. And in fact, she's actually next in line for the throne. And throughout this movie, she has to transition from thinking of herself as a nobody, as this ordinary schoolgirl, to actually see herself and present herself as royalty. And other than this being a good movie that you all should watch, it's also really, really relevant to here because, you know, we thought of ourselves and we lived in this place of sin, in this place of, oh, I'm a nobody and I'm kind of stuck in this place, all bound down. But in fact, God has called us into his family, has adopted us, and that we're part of his royal family, royal priesthood even. So we have to walk and actually present ourselves in this free living. We can't try and say, oh, I'm here and I'm chained, especially when presenting yourself and you're walking in this world. Because if people see us, they're thinking, oh, you're living a very chained kind of lifestyle. It's not the kind of lifestyle I want to live. But, you know, if we're representing who we truly are, that we truly are free, people see that and be like, oh, maybe I want that freedom. How do I get this freedom? And then tell them about Jesus and all the good things he is. Ben. Excuse me. But then you may be sitting here thinking, but okay, I'm in these chains, but it's so difficult. And it really is to get out of these chains. But God clearly, in these verses, he shows that it's his strength that is able to break these chains. You know, his people have been oppressed for so long, and the Assyrians have come over, and you can see that they've been mocking, blaspheming against God. You know, even God's people blaspheming against him, you know, worshipping other gods. And those who are oppressing them are just blaspheming against God. And it seems like there is no way out. It seems like they've been defeated and this is their life now. This is where they must be. But God says that he will show his power, that his people will know his name. In verse 10, it says, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and the end of all the earth will see the salvation of our God. So, you know, it's not just God's people who is going to see God's power. It's everyone that will see God's power. When we're in those chains, you know, it's difficult to get out, but it's God's strength who is able to break those chains when we come to him. And these verses, it's also wonderfully pointing to Jesus as well. Especially verse 3. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. You know, these God's people have been looking and hearing promises of this Messiah, and this really points to it again, of where Jesus is coming. He's going to, like, be magnificent, and he's going to defeat and just completely free his people. And I know they thought he was going to come, like, just charging in on a horse and completely destroying the Romans and everyone that's oppressing them. But in fact, he did it in a way that was even more powerful than they could even imagine, and a way that it wasn't expected. You know, he came in and defeated death, he defeated sin, and we were no longer bound to that death. In fact, we could walk into that everlasting life. And that is such a beautiful thing. The fact that we can have that life with Jesus, that we don't have to just take and accept death. Verses 7 goes on, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. And it's such a beautiful thing to bring the word of God, that joy, that you have that freedom. I think, imagine there's someone who's been given a death sentence. They're about to die. It's not very nice. It's not something you want. And they know that their time's coming. They know that this is the end. But then someone comes in, says, hey, it's okay. Someone's already paid the price for you. You can live. I'm sure in that moment, you're going to look like the most amazing, beautiful person bringing such good news. It's like, oh my gosh, I can live. This is amazing. And we have this news. We have better than that news. Because we know that Jesus Christ has already died for us. He's already paid the ultimate price and allowed us to come into that new life. And as we look at a time of Advent where we celebrate God coming into this world, being born into this world so that he will live his life, he will do amazing things and then die for us to then rise again. We also look forward as well to him coming again. And this, you know, he brings in the new heaven, the new earth. And to us, this is so amazing. Like, it's going to be so beautiful. It's going to be a celebration. And wouldn't we want to share this joy with others as well? You know, if it is truly beautiful, wouldn't you want to share that with your family, with those friends around you? And I think it's such a beautiful image of being freed of chains when, you know, you feel like there's been this injustice against you and it's not fair. You've lived a life just to die. And for them, they've got no hope after, but we have such an amazing hope of that we can walk into this eternal life. And I think it's going to be such an amazing opportunity to share that with everyone, where it's such a celebration. And I think this is a wonderful time as well, especially as we come into a time of Advent, we look towards Christmas. It kind of sets us up nicely to share this with people, because even though we guess it doesn't get touched on as much, but people still know the story, the nativity, and there is a glimmer of that. And we can bring the truth into that. You know, we can have these conversations, and it's a somewhat easier time to have these conversations around this time and be able to open up to that. But I'm just going to invite the band up. And, you know, as we start, we sing some more worship to God, and as we go into a time of response, there are going to be some people over there praying, as usual, in the corner. And yeah, I don't know whether you might feel that you've been in chains for so long, that it feels like you've been trapped by something, but you want to break free. You know, there's a God that is so powerful, so amazing, and so loving that he wants you to walk into that freedom. You know, we hear the call that God's telling us to walk into this freedom. So, you know, if you want to bring that before God, just whether that's in your seat, you want to come over and get prayer, feel free to come out. Or, you know, there's, it's like Alex was saying, trusting in God and putting God first. Sometimes it's difficult to know where to go when all you seem to know is where you've been. And it's difficult to walk into where God has called you to be, because you might not know what that looks like yet, but it's really taking a step of faith to walk into that, to say, God, I'm giving everything to you. I'm going to put you first. So just bring it before God. But also, if you feel like you want encouragement, you know, as it's a time to share this joyous news, but you don't know how you're going to do that yet, again, just bring that before God. Say, God, I want to serve you. I want to share your good news. Just help encourage my spirit and lead me where I'm going there. I'm just going to pray, and we'll go into a time of worship. If you want more prayer, there'll be people over in the corner. But Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have set us free, that you broke the chains that we were tied and bound so tightly with, Lord. But Lord, you came down because you loved us, and you claim victory over death. You died so that we didn't have to, but we could walk into eternal life. So Lord, I want to pray as we receive that news, Heavenly Father, allow us to go out. Allow us to be the light to others so they too can know that freedom, that they can walk and they can walk into that freedom and receive that everlasting life as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.